false flags. There are no accidents in divine mind, and there are no accidents in a principled human business. Bicknell Young, a popular Christian Science practitioner in his day, had many people that came to him seeking advice on how to heal their business, or asking him to be the practitioner to heal the business. His reply, in most cases, was that they need to learn their business first. They were coming to him expecting miracles. There is no such thing as a miracle. Everything that happens, happens because of the circumstances surrounding it. One can create the circumstances surrounding anything affecting themselves, because it is all through human thought, consciousness, and the benefit comes as a result of the degree of divine consciousness that one permits to guide themselves in the daily human business of their affairs. There are three very important quotes prior to the preface of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy, and they are as follows. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's from John. The second one, there is nothing, either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. 3. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. If we are running a business, we must know what the principle is, or the principles, in operating that business. We must know our business. Our body is our business, and our body, properly defined, includes every thought, speech, and action that we entertain. Everything. If we are running a business, that is a part of our body. If we're married, our spouse is a part of our body. Our children, if we have children, family, parents, brothers and sisters, it's all part of our body. If we're working on an event, no matter what it is, that's part of our body. We need to know the truth about that, no matter what it is, whatever is occupying our thought at the moment, and make sure that we know what we're doing. Then we will be free of mishaps, of accidents, of interference, of failure. Shakespeare needs to be applied to every single thing in our body. Again, the body that was just defined. What kind of thoughts are we putting in our body, our consciousness, about what we're doing? What kind of thoughts are we accepting that is surrounding, or the atmosphere, about the topic? Are we using the filter of divine mind, the filter of spirit, spirit being the substance, to make sure that we are only looking at the real substance, which is spirit, which is flawless, transparent, reflective, reflective of the good angel thoughts that come to us from God about the topic. Are we listening? A favorite image of Jesus shows him knocking on a door. He's knocking on our door of consciousness. Are we letting the Christ consciousness come in? The one that he let guide him in all thought, speech, and action. The third one tells us what happens when we do number one and two. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. The blessings are automatic. It's like a salesman, a professional salesman. He is trained to follow a principle. Number one, he needs to be having a product that is a good product that serves the customer, fairly priced, absolutely unparalleled customer service. My dad, who was in business his entire adult life, said that the best advertising anyone can have is a satisfied customer. Our customer should be our consciousness, no matter what we're involved in. Are we serving our consciousness properly, letting only wholesome thoughts enter therein? And of course, that obviously includes loving your neighbor as yourself, which means that if you have a business and you have customers, you are treating them as you would want to be treated. In essence, a false flag is a pre-planned evil activity. Its intent is to be mesmerizing the public so that they will falsely interpret it as something other than a pre-planned evil event. Whether it's an accident, whether it's a terrorist activity by some organization, whether it's domestic or foreign, it is going to be advertised by the media, which are fake. Almost every media out there, on a percentage basis, is fake. They are there to misguide, to provide disinformation. One of our intel agencies has a program called Project Mockingbird, and you can look it up on the internet. If you're wise, you will use an internet that is not censored, such as a search engine called Yandex, YANDEX.com. And you will find all you want to know about Project Mockingbird. It's been around for many, many decades, and it is for the purpose of tricking people into believing things that are false, guiding them to try to convince them that it is true, when in fact it is definitely a lie. Most of the mainstream media are lies. Everything they produce is a lie. It is twisting the truth to make you try to believe that it is true, when in fact it is a lie. The lie and the liar are the same, as Jesus told us in the Bible. In the last couple of days, one of the two most important bridges in America was blown up. What are they advertising? They're advertising that a ship ran into it. The ship was out of control. It's been discovered that the ship was unmanned. Huge, major cargo ship that supposedly had no one on board. That's not what they tell you. the world can be protected from all of these, quote, false flags, which are pre-planned events to make you believe that they are accidents, something beyond control. You're probably going to call it an act of God, when it's really an act of war against America. Just like all of the other false flags that have been published on the website, they are all engineered by internal evil activities. They're not from foreign countries. They're not terrorists that are attacking America from another country. They are evil forces, so-called, within America, the United States. This is all public information if you will do the research. Einstein said, never stop questioning. Don't accept anything at face value. If someone tells you something, it doesn't matter if it's your best friend. Your best friend is not God. Question it. Do the research. And while you're doing it, you need to keep in the forefront of your thought that there is no power outside of omnipotence. And that's God. God is omnipotence. God is the only power. That's what omnipotence means. It's one, only, and all. So there is nothing else that can have power of any kind whatsoever. And what is power? Power is a measurement of performance. And what brings about performance? Creative ability that is exercised, capacity, capability, functionality, facility, action. All of those put together bring about performance. A measurement of performance is a measurement of power. God is the only thing that is infinite. Anytime we want to compare anything, we have to have the element of infinity in the equation. We have on the website a 2-minute video showing the size of some of the major planets. The first one shows Earth being very large and the Sun being larger than Earth. The last part of the video shows the 15th largest star that is known to man at this time. Earth is not even visible because it is so small. Sun is a tiny little speck compared to the largest, or the one that is the 15th largest, which is the largest one on the video. And just think what a small space we take up on planet Earth. If we were 100% filled with problems, it would be a tiny speck compared to these planets. Are we putting any trouble that we might be facing in the correct perspective? If we cultivate our understanding about what God is and the infinite nature of God, we will then be able to get a much better perspective on exactly how big the problem is that we are facing. It's very tiny in perspective, very tiny, not even worth mentioning hardly, except for the fact that we are perceiving it as huge. We're forgetting what Shakespeare said. There's nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. We could also say there is no size that is big if it's compared to something that is much larger. There's always something much larger. And obviously the largest thing is one without measurement, which is infinity. The infinitude, the infinite nature of God. Are we going to look at the destruction of this bridge, an intentional act of evil, as the end of the world? Or as the end of transportation on the East Coast? Or are we going to look for solutions? One solution, where we better begin, is in our own thought. Are we going to see this as big or as an opportunity? And you can look at that as big, a big opportunity to know the truth about what really is substance. Is a bridge the substance? Mr. Winslow talks about a story where somebody went to heaven to knock on the door to talk to God to get help. And an angel came to the door and said, "What can I do for you?" And the people that were there said, "We ran out of whatever it was." It could be anything. You put it in there. What do you think you've run out of? Have you run out of peace, harmony, money, friends, a job, a house, food, shelter, or clothing? Whatever you think you lack, fill in the blank. And tell it to the angel at the door of heaven. So the ones at the door of heaven were lamenting to the angel on what they were lacking. And the angel says, "Just a minute." And the angel goes to talk to God and says, "God, we have some people here that say they have a need for this, this, and that, so forth." And God says, "Well, we have an infinite supply of everything. Give them whatever they want and however much they want." And the angel told God, the angel said, "But these people want something that they can run out of. They think they've run out of something and they want us to replace it." And the angel told God, "We don't have anything that you can run out of, because everything we have is infinite." So God told the angel to go to the door and tell the people that they can have whatever they want and as much of it as they want. You see, the angel didn't know what to do, because the angel knew everything was infinite. So she couldn't give them something they ran out of, because there isn't anything that you can run out of. Because everything that exists is an idea. Can you run out of a 7 or a 15 in mathematics? Can you run out of any number? No, because it's an idea. It's only a symbol that reflects the underlying value of whatever the number is related to. You have 3 meals left before you are out of food. You have 5 minutes of daylight before it gets totally dark and you can't see anything. What is it you think you have run out of or are running out of? It all relates to a symbol that represents something underneath that is of infinite value. It's a quality. If you say you're out of money, what does that mean? Why do you want the money? Do you want to pay for your rent, your mortgage, your taxes, buy fuel for your vehicle, buy food for what you need to buy from the grocery store? You have to identify what the problem is. And the problem is not going to be matter. It's going to be something that is spiritual. Because something that is spiritual, you cannot run out of. And that's what you want to cultivate in your thought. You want to cultivate things of spiritual value, not of matter. Matter you can always run out of because it has no lasting value. Mr. Winslow also talks about the story of being in a room. And you've got a phone there and you've got a radio. The phone is ringing off the hook. And if you pick it up, you're going to hear every possible problem you can imagine. And it wants you to give it a home. And the radio is a one-way announcer of good, of God's qualities. Which one should you be listening to? Which one do you want to fill your thought with? Remember, thinking is neither good or bad. Without the thinker making it so. What do we want to make so? Do we want to make real to us only good, only perfection, unlimited? Or do we want to accept anything at all that everyone says? If the majority of people are all saying the same thing, then you've got a very good clue that it is a lie. How many people that attend a Christian church rely on God for healing? Very, very few. Very few. Well, that's living a lie right there. Christianity means that it is supposed to be following Christ Jesus. Did Christ Jesus take drugs? Did he go to a medicine man for healing? Did he take any of the people that he met that were seeking healing to a medicine man? What is the symbol for a doctor or for medicine? It's a snake. It's a serpent coiled around some kind of a rod or a round pole or something. What a symbol. That ought to be the first heads up alarm clock that should go off in our head. Wow, do I want this? The belief is that when a serpent bites you, it's going to inject poison. They use poison in medicine to supposedly cure something that is poisonous. How much sense does that make? In order to fix an accident, are you going to have another accident? In order to cure a failure, are you going to want another failure? If you break your arm, what are you going to do? Break your other one to heal it? If your hair is messed up and you want it to be combed or brushed so that you look proper when you enter a meeting, you mess it up again? If you're hungry, do you cure it by not eating and get more hungry? Almost everything that is a human activity is the opposite of what you should be doing. In fact, if it's a human activity, it probably is the opposite. Because what you should be doing is indulging in spiritual activities. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's what Jesus told us. I think it was Jesus that said that. Certainly, if not him, one of the other inspired, spiritually minded people in the Bible. One of the authors on the website was having a very difficult time. He was what you might say at the end of his rope. He had no idea where to turn to improve what looked like an incurable problem. He went to a friend who was a longtime Christian Scientist. So he lamented his problems. He says, I don't know what to do. The friend had one question. How many hours a day do you study? His answer was this. I have all these things to do. And that takes 18 hours a day. So I only have 6 hours left. And I use that for... So I sleep for those hours, preparing for the next day. The friend told him, well, you've got a choice. You can either continue down the road you're going, or you can turn it around. The only way you're going to turn it around is if you spend about 5 hours a day studying. He didn't know what to do. He contemplates it. High speed. He realizes he doesn't have a choice. Because the only thing he knows that would be a possible solution is Christian Science. But he must not have had much confidence in Christian Science because he was not devoting a single minute a day to studying and learning, to reforming, transforming his consciousness. But after contemplating it, he decided there was no choice. So he said, okay, I'm going to do it. He had already started the healing process in effect because healing means getting our thought in alignment with God. And he broke through the mesmerism enough so that he could say the words, okay, I will do it. Within a few days, his life started turning around. And he found he had more time to sleep than just 1 hour a day. It was taking less time than 18 hours a day to do all the other activities that he felt he needed to do. And eventually, he had enough understanding about Christian Science that he was being invited to speak at various places. As of right now, we have an opportunity, if we live in America, to practice Christian Science in our own lives. I don't know how much longer we will have that opportunity, and it depends entirely on what each one of us do with utilizing Christian Science. Because if we just ignore it and go about our daily lives, letting our lives be controlled by something that is outside of what we think is possible to be controlled by, then we probably go over the cliff. Mary Baker Eddy prophesied that if Christian Scientists do not use what she has made available to us to learn, as well as the Bible, if we don't utilize the tools that are right and available in front of us, then we're probably going to go into a period of the darkest ages for the longest time that it has ever been experienced on planet Earth. It's our choice. Do we want to live in slavery to false flags? Or do we want to have the control of our lives to be under the control of divine mind? Mary Baker Eddy says there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind. But are we going to benefit from it? It might be there, but are we going to benefit from it? We may be gifted with a special talent. Are we cultivating it? Are we ignoring it? Everyone has special talents. There's a place for everyone if they are going to let God guide them. If they're going to study about mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and try to follow what those qualities mean in their every thought, speech, and action. The definition of God, part of which was just said, also includes the words incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Incorporeal. It's not a body. Jesus was not God. Jesus represented the best man to walk on the earth, but he wasn't God. He said, "My Father and I are one." I and my Father are one. That was in consciousness. In other words, he was letting the consciousness of God lead him on what to do all the time, constantly. We have all the tools. Are we going to use them? Are we going to believe everything that's in the news? Are we going to believe a false flag is something that is an accident? Are we going to believe that some devastating tornado or earthquake or anything else is an act of God, and yet it's destructing God's very idea, which is man, spiritual man? It's not God talking. God's not talking to us through a storm or a nightmare of some hellish activity. God is a God of perfection, and he's omnipresent. So always where we are, God's right there. Are we going to recognize God? Mary Baker Eddy says that we must deny that any error or evil of any and every kind has no power, that it's unreal. We must expose it. It would do a lot of the destruction of itself if we just expose it. Many people don't want to recognize that there's a problem. They want to ignore it. Or they might see it and they don't know what to do about it. Just like most people that are in what they call a Christian church goes to someone else for healing. Psychiatrist, psychologist, medical doctor, whatever. They don't try to solve it themselves. They don't even try to learn how to solve it themselves. They don't even try to follow the example of Christ Jesus. A lot of people wear a necklace around their neck that is a image, or it's a piece of metal that is in the form of a cross with Christ Jesus hanging on it. Or maybe just a cross to remind them of Jesus. But they look to Jesus as somebody that suffered for our sins, and therefore we have been forgiven of our sins. In Christian Science, we're taught that we are only forgiven of our sins when we stop sinning. We have to change. We have to transform our thought, speech, and action from a sinful person that we are saddled with when we're born because of false belief. And we have to replace that with the truth about man. If we don't take positive, constructive steps and claim our innocence and claim our perfection and keep reminding ourselves of it, we're not going to get anywhere. Mary Baker Eddy gave her household 39 topics to study every single day. 39. It's 8 or 9 pages. Typewritten at normal reading size. She required every single one of them to study those topics. And those topics include specific quotes out of the Bible, Science and Health, and other writings of Mary Baker Eddy. She gave us a few things in the manual. There were supposed to be daily things to read and study. Rule for Motives and Acts is one of them. She gave us a daily prayer. She said one of the most valuable prayers we could ever study is the Lord's Prayer. That's the only prayer that Jesus apparently gave us. It's short, but it covers everything. She even did a special gift to the world by giving the spiritual interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. Jesus gave us 2 commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and so forth. And he said, the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do we do those 2 things? Do we put God first? And do we love our neighbor as ourselves? Pretty simple formula. Are we going to experience false flags? If we have our guard up, she said we should guard our door of thought like we would bar our door from thieves and murderers. Well, that's exactly what evil is. It's a thief and a murderer. It tries to murder, it tries to steal away our divine nature, and it tries to kill any effort we have to follow the Christ consciousness, the God consciousness, the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Oh, I am blessed. the reward comes, our blessing comes when we do number one and two. When we know the truth, and when we realize that our thoughts have a direct impact on our experience and on the experience of those that our thought rests upon. We have the tools. We can recognize a false flag immediately. We can recognize evil in any form if we will do our work. If we will filter out the evil. What is the source of the thought that comes to us? Is it an angel thought? Perfect? Pure? Flawless? Or is it something that is tainted? It's up to us. God gives us the tools. The blackboard is in front of us. The chalk is in our hand. We have to work out the solution utilizing the tools that we have available. We will never fear or be a victim of a false flag, nor would anyone, if they just do that simple thing. Follow the Christ. Treat others as you want to be treated. Look to God, number one. Not when we think there is no other alternative, but go there first. What does God say about it? God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Mind represents like intelligence, wisdom, and knowing, capability, functionality, action, therefore performance, and therefore power. God is spirit, which is our only substance, which is flawless, transparent, reflective. God is soul, which is spiritual sense, all seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling. That's God. If it's spiritual, because the only substance is spirit. God is principle. Principle is system and structure, balance, harmony. God is life. What is life? Life is living the qualities of God with enthusiasm. God is truth. If you're building a building and the wall is supposed to be perpendicular to the surface, the floor, you don't make it almost 90 degrees. Because if you go up a few hundred feet, almost 90 degrees is catastrophe. Because now you're not going to be able to go up very far at all before it's going to collapse. That's truth. Are we staying on the path of truth? Or are we letting lies sneak in there and say, well, everybody's doing this. How could it be so wrong? Well, everybody means mortal mind is at work. Just like the news that you hear from 99.99% of all the sources. They're lies. They're lies. I mean, you can tell they're lies because everybody's saying the same thing. And it's not a godlike thing they're saying. It is an evil thing they're saying. And of course, love means you have nurtured all the other qualities. Love is the plan and design of everything. It's the lubricant that makes everything work. It's the thing that says, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Are we doing it? We have the ability, because God is all capability, all capacity, all functionality. Do we want to do it? There are four functionaries, just like math has add, subtract, multiply, and divide. There's four operators for the system of divine metaphysics. And Mary Baker already refers to the system on page 146 of the textbook, Science and Health, with the Key to the Scriptures. She says she's reduced Christian Science, or the system of divine metaphysics, to a system. It's like mathematics is a system. 2 times 5 is always going to be 10. It's a system. if the two and the five are fixed, they're always going to equal 10. They can't be variable. You can't have your facts variable. They have to be fixed. They have to be true. Learning the facts about God, that's called the Word. That's like adding. You're adding the truth to your thoughts. The second one is Christ. That's translating it. Whatever comes your way, you're going to interpret it like Jesus did. He wasn't going to look at the sick, blind, deaf, dead, sick person. He was going to start from God. He was going to look at the truth about the individual. Translating, that's what we have to do. Mary Baker Eddy said in her article on vision, or a letter that she wrote to one of her students, she says, are you able to focus no matter what comes your way? Well, we have to focus. That's the Christ. We have to focus on the truth no matter what comes our way. And Christianity is proving that we understand correctly about what God is, which is the Word, and that we stick to the truth, which is the translation, which is the Christ, and then we will be able to prove the truth. We will be able to prove the system of divine metaphysics works for us, because we'll have healing. We will have a solution, a resolution of the problem. The fourth one is science. Science means that we are following the system automatically. Automatically. We don't have to consciously think about the word Christ in Christianity, but we are living it. And therefore, we are in heaven in our consciousness, which of course is within each one of us individually. There are no real false flags, because nothing real is false. There is no real accident. There is no real evil. There is no real devil. There is no real hypnotism, mesmerism. There is no real animal magnetism. The only thing that is real is what is perfect, which means that it's good, not evil. There is nothing but God. Are we going to believe it? Are we going to act like it? Are we going to talk like it? Are we going to think like it? It's our option. We can spend 5 hours a day studying, or we can say we're too busy. Which is it going to be? Amen.